You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Porpoise Pod.
It's a podcast with a purpose.
All dolphins.
All the time.
Touchdown!
Now, here's your host,
Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solana.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Porpoise Pod. Brendan Tobin here alongside my co-host, Alejandro Solana. What's going on, man? How are you?
Miss you, Tobes.
Yeah, man. I know. It's been busy times. Busy times. Football officially has come to an end. We live in a world where Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they win the Super Bowl yet again. They got to do it without Tyreek Hill. But, you know, in a lot of ways, Solana, I feel like we won the fun Super Bowl because Tyreek Hill was oodles of fun this year.
I agree. How were the Chiefs better without Tyreek Hill, though? Like, can you explain that one to me?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, with them, they won a Super Bowl. Without, they did. So, you know, I guess they're equally as good. They just figured it out.
I guess.
You know, I mean, they did get a hell, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster got a little help with the call there at the end. But, you know, they're good. Nobody denied that they were good. I think the thing that was weird, the most weird about all of it was how sensitive they got about Tyreek Hill just being fired up with being in a new situation. But, you know. Good for them. You know, look, it's better than Philadelphia being happy in my mind.
Oh, I'm with you, man. Oh, I couldn't take these cheesesteak lovers celebrating another Super Bowl. I couldn't take it.
Really annoying city, really annoying fan base. You know, they do that stupid bird thing where they squawk. We're not doing nature calls here. It's enough already.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the Chiefs with the stupid war chant.
Probably put that in their pocket enough.
Who are you? Florida State? You know, where are we? Dope Campbell?
Also, it's like, you know, Travis Kelce, get over it, dude. We were doubted. Nobody was doubting you.
What the hell was that all
Maybe
about?
You got some self-esteem issues that the Kelce bowl, more like in your feelings bowl.
He literally, first of all, they're interviewing Patrick Mahomes. They're not interviewing you, Travis Kelce. Let's start there. And then... Net one of you picked us to win the Super Bowl. Like, bro, you were 13-3. You were the number one overall seed in the AFC. Who wasn't picking you to win the Super Bowl?
Everybody thought like Tyreek Hill was coming here and was going to be an afterthought. Like, nobody thought the Chiefs were going to be in trouble without Tyreek Hill at all. So that's over. But the good news is, days later, fangs up. Vic Fangio officially is announced as the Dolphins defensive coordinator after a long saga that was, you know, official, then unofficial, then he was taking new interviews, then now he was going to sign on, but he had some weird side gig with the Eagles that he was taking on. I don't know what the hell that was. That was weird.
This one's tough for us, right? Because both you and I are on the record of kind of being over Fangs for a little bit because he had the interview, and he makes everybody seem in Miami like it's a done deal. And then he wants to start texting reporters like, whoa. I didn't commit to anything yet. Then he's lining up interviews with the Eagles and the Panthers and who knows who else. And then it was like, all right, I'm going to announce after the Super Bowl. But then a day came and another day came, and he didn't announce after the Super Bowl. So we were both kind of on the record of saying, like, enough with this Fangs guy. But now... Fangs up. I'm with you. Let's go.
Look, it is Fangs up. Only Fangs is officially open for business, but he has got you burned your honeymoon phase, Fangio. All right. I want to hit the ground running with you making this the best defense in the league, because that whole little flirtation and that little attention show, that is worthy of a star. So what you're telling me is this whole dog and pony show that you put us through, this glass case of emotions, I better get results right away. Chop, chop. That's how it better go.
Best defense in preseason. That's what I want to see, the highest rated preseason defense. And then, you know, maybe I'll be all in on this Fangio.
Yeah. I think he's getting introduced on Monday supposed. I mean,
11 a.m. I think is a press conference.
I really don't care about his press conference. You better, really? You know, honestly, no, just get in the lab and shut people down. That's what I want. He's not going to do a better press conference than McCoachin. I mean, like, you know, so have you ever heard Vic Fangio speak? I just imagine like he's just shutting down defense in the middle of chewing glass.
Just like real rugged.
Yeah.
Like he's just in the middle of a conversation. He'll just yell out 3-4.
Yep. Pretty much.
Just everything's about the defense. Hey, Fangio, how about you make this Noah Igbinoghene not a bust? How about that? Like, let's start setting some pretty tough standards for Vic Fangio.
I'll be happy if you could just get Bradley Chubb to be the guy that we thought they gave up a first-round pick for and $100 million for. That I'll take for it. I mean, like, I'm not expecting miracles.
Actually touch the quarterback so we don't have to talk about pressures with Bradley Chubb.
Yeah. If you can get Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips to be like the most dynamic pass rush duo in the league, now we're talking fangs. That's what I'm really talking about. And I am curious, like, what Mike McDaniel, I wonder if Mike McDaniel is going to talk about fangs. That I'd be into, because I feel like he would be a hoot talking about what an old timer he is.
What do you think about this whole thing? Because I know you and I had talked about it a couple weeks ago when the fangs news kind of first broke. And then Crowder has been doing this whole song and dance about, well, now you've got the guy who's the young, exciting head coach, and then he can worry about the offense. And now you bring in the veteran to worry about the defense. And it's almost like you have two head coaches. How do you feel about that whole dynamic people are kind of placing now, where not that McDaniel is going to give up some of his prestige, I don't think it's going to work like that, but the fact that like McDaniel can look over to the sideline and have a trustworthy veteran companion to rely on, because I think it's a load of crap, to be 100% honest.
I get the whole point of having somebody with some more experience, but like, this guy was in the league for 100 years before he became a head coach, and then he wasn't good at it. So I think it's just good that you have, like, run your offense, Fangs. You're not in charge, all right? Old McCoachin is the man, and he's beloved. Because I think you saw this, I saw this the other day. We were at Heat Nuggets. This guy's a man of the people. He is beloved, this Mike McDaniel. He was hobnobbing. He was shaking hands. He was doing selfies with everybody. Solana, I was sitting, you know, where I sit, Mike McDaniel was at like row 4, but I could look right down to where he was.
You were stalking him the whole time.
Whole time, dude. That's what I was obsessed with. I was told by a source in the building, hey, Mike McDaniel's here. Immediately I go in search for him. He's hanging out with Chris Quinn.
Yeah, was that all about with Quinny the whole time?
I don't know.
Chris Quinn missed the pregame meeting in the locker room because he was chopping it up with McCoachin.
I think Chris Quinn was feeling froggy because he drew up that inbounds play for the Jimmy Butler dunk a couple games ago.
Yeah.
So I had to get the non-creepy angle of like, hey, I'm stalking you guys, but I don't want you to know, because I got a pretty good zoom on my camera. I think it was pretty awkward because I just literally circled everybody and basically got to the other side of the court and realized that was just the best angle. This lady just had to move out of the way. And then after that, he was hanging out with his two broskies. I don't know who those guys were. But it's funny because it's like you're seeing this guy in the wild, and it's like, yeah, he's just a guy, you know. He's fairly young, just enjoying himself. You know, he's loving the music. People are coming up to him, you know, Heat officials, cops, fans, everybody's shaking the hands of the man himself.
I love the fact that they showed him on the Jumbotron, and the Dolphins and the Heat both reposted the video. So if you haven't seen it, you definitely should check it out. And he throws up the fins up. And then they kind of left him up there, and he starts doing like a fist bump almost. I never would have bet in a million years he was Jumbotron hype guy.
Really? I picture him exactly like that. Like, I think that he,
what?
Yeah, he's just, he has to, it's one of those things, like he's very much uses funny to get out of awkward. And that's what it is. Like, he's just one of these guys where like, all right, is this a weird situation? How can I make the jokey joke to get out of this and make it funny? And that's what it was. So he was just getting the crowd fired up. I saw Will Manso was questioning his loyalties, saying, oh, is he a Nuggets fan because he's from Colorado? No. In fact, he threw on the Heat jersey that they gave him and was taking pictures with the jersey on. He's a Heat lifer. And him and Spo, BFF.
He's too smart after, what was it, a five-game losing streak, Tobin, to be out there and say, yeah, I'm rooting for the Nuggets. I mean, no. I mean, you made the playoffs, McDaniel, but you know, I don't think we're giving you enough leeway, five-game losing streak to end the season. If you're out there rooting for Jokic and the Nuggets kicking their asses in Miami.
I tell you what, though, like Spo loves him. Spo was like, he was late for his press conference, and then Eric Spoelstra was like, I'd rather be talking Dolphins football.
They were
chatting it up.
40-minute conversation between these two. I didn't get home till 2:30 in the morning because I was waiting for Spo to talk after the game.
We were all wondering, hey, where's Spo? And then like we walk out to go to the locker room, even though there's really no point because Jimmy Butler wasn't going to talk and everybody else was coming to the podium. So we all walk and then there's just Spo and McCoach and just chatting. Chris Quinn was there too. And then his friends, but you know, just a couple meeting of the minds. I love seeing it.
Didn't Spo go to Dolphins training camp earlier this year? He did, right? Like, and, yeah, and was he it, talked
I,
about,
I think Tyreek Hill was pestering him for tickets. I don't think I've seen Tyreek Hill at a game this year. Have you? Did he go to any games this year?
No. Which is surprising because who was it that was at every game? Was it Melvin Ingram?
Melvin Ingram against great seats, like right next to the Heat bench.
Melvin Ingram had the plug at Miami-Dade Arena. So I'm surprised like him and Tyreek wasn't just like, yeah, I'm coming. Tyreek, though, I think he's working for a 10-day because Tyreek Hill is like at this indoor basketball gym. It's like an open gym and they do tournaments or whatever. It's a league in Miami and he's out there all the time. And he tweeted a couple days ago, like I'm a hooper or something like that. I don't remember exactly what he tweeted, but he was saying he's a hooper.
He is. I don't know if you've seen what he's changed his Insta, his Twitter bio to, but his new bio says Soul Runner, his company,
right?
Twitter's biggest instigator of 2023. And so he's just commenting on everything, including this wonderful beef that happened over the weekend between AJ Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. And you just basically had Tyreek Hill adding people. He's adding James Bradbury. He's just trying to get people in trouble and get them involved in all of this stuff. So he is just taken to being just a bleepster. That's what he's up to right now.
I love that. Twitter's biggest instigator. Definitely the NFL's biggest instigator. I mean, what a joke of a beef, by the way. The whole thing is so stupid to me. But I love the fact that Tyreek just meddling. You know, he's trying to...
Just pushing buttons.
Yeah.
You know? Juju's got his ring, and he's like, you know what? But you embarrassed yourself. You embarrassed yourself with trying to cry and whine because AJ Brown got upset.
Yeah.
He got very upset. And so... Tyreek Hill was just having some fun and you know, I think it's good, you know, like Tyreek Hill, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are trying to like mock him and say, oh, see, we did it without you. That guy doesn't care. He lives in a great city. He's making oodles of money. He broke a franchise record this year. Who says he won't win a Super Bowl? They're on their way.
I mean, this guy already has the ring. He has the hardware, Tobin.
He does.
Came down here. He got paid. He's a face of a franchise. He gets to live in South Florida. I mean, what, you think Tyreek Hill's sweating it because Mahomes had to play on a broken ankle to win a Super Bowl? He's good.
Yeah. First of all, he still has to live in Kansas City. And second of all, he doesn't have an annoying TikTok brother. So I think somebody's winning in life.
What happened to Jackson Mahomes, by the way? Like, I haven't seen anything about him.
I think he like did some stupid dance behind Patrick Mahomes, but I think he's losing his luster a little bit.
There was like, that was like 2 seconds and then somebody just moved him out of the way. But I mean, usually, especially on the way to a Super Bowl run, I mean, Jackson Mahomes is everywhere. And I didn't see a single video about him. Nobody mocking him. Like it almost didn't feel like the Super Bowl.
And well, him and then Mrs. Mahomes is also, she annoys a lot of people on Twitter. I don't feel like I've seen her either. So I don't know. Maybe Patrick Mahomes got a handle of his crew and he said, hey, can you guys stop being annoying? I'm pretty beloved. You guys are ruining this for me. You know, you see Giselle Bundchen out here spraying champagne on the people.
It was like the only downside to Patrick Mahomes.
It really was.
His brother and his wife. You can't hate the guy.
It's impossible. He's got a funny voice and he's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll take a quick break here on the Porpoise Pod. Other stuff to get to, some fodder for the offseason. We'll be back with more on the Porpoise Pod. Swims on after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Porpoise Pod swimming on here, Tobin and Solana, as we are in the midst of the off season and getting ready to see what the Dolphins do to gear up for their Super Bowl run for next season. But we did get some big news, Solana, since we have last podded. A legend, Zach Thomas. He is going into the Hall of Fame. A long time coming for Zach. I know you guys had him on your show this week, but. I'm not surprised that he is in the Hall of Fame. I was surprised that he got in with this class. I thought this was a very stacked class. He's been on the cutting room floor a lot of years in a row, and seeing some of the names that were here, I was worried that he was once again going to get squeezed out, but he finally gets in. It's been a long time, well-deserved, as classy an individual as it gets. And, you know, you're talking now about the two legends of the late 90s, 2000s with him and JT. Now enshrined together. They got put in the Ring of Honor together. They're now going to be in the Hall of Fame together. How happy were you for Zach?
I mean, bro, I was like, to me, I mean, Tobin, growing up, Jason Taylor, 99 and 54, Zach Thomas. Those are the two guys that you rooted for. And like, Sam Madison was awesome. Patrick Surtain was awesome too. Like, the whole defense was awesome. But bro, I mean, I was like 8 years old when Zach Thomas like was in his prime. And that's when I started gravitating to sports. So for me, like, he was everything growing up, especially as a Dolphins fan. You're going to root for that bum offense, you know, for Jay Fiedler or Cleo Lemon. No, I mean, you're rooting for the defense and Zach and JT. So that, like, bro, I was so hyped when he got in. I was with you. I thought this was just going to be another year where he wasn't going to get in. When he came on our show, something he said made me love him even more. It was impossible, I didn't think. So, first of all, he told the story, Tobe. I don't know if you saw these videos. He told the story that Nick Saban tried to cuss him out, or did cuss him out in front of the team in his first year, and he just torched him. And then he said he didn't really like Saban, hated Saban, and that Saban tried to trade him, which is why he made his life hell. Listen, you don't like Nick Saban, you're okay in my book, first and foremost.
I hate Nick Saban.
And then how about this? When Bill Parcells, that bum, cut Zach Thomas, Zach got a meeting with Bill Belichick. Belichick flew him up to New England. He wow. met with Belichick, and Belichick said, hey, like, we'd love to have you. And he said, I have to sleep on it. He went home. Next morning, he woke up. He said, I can't play for the Patriots because – like, he knew it would torture Dolphins fans. And he also kind of threw a little jab at JT because he's like, I can't play for the Jets.
Well,
and
understandably, they have a bit of a complex the career.
Absolutely, they do. So, bro, the fact that he would turn down an opportunity to play with Bill Belichick, which, by the way, like, he's 34, 35 years old, doesn't have a ring. He easily could have gone to New England.
For sure.
Piggybacked off of Brady, probably won a ring. And played under a defensive mastermind in Bill Belichick. But yep. He loved this organization, this city, and appreciated Dolphins fans so much. He knew that if he played for a division rival, it would crush Dolphins fans. And he refused to do it because of that. I mean, that's goated, in my opinion. Like, Zach Thomas, like, for me, he's the greatest Dolphin of all time. For me,
wow.
Personally. I know he's not.
You put him like, above Marino and you put him above JT.
I know he's not. Like, I know if you actually went through the ranking. Right. But just for me, that story to me as a Dolphins fan catapults him.
That's Goosey's, dude. That is
right
Goosey's.
Right to the top.
He's also, you know, it's a fascinating thing with Zach because he's the lone legend that doesn't feel like he's around the organization very much.
Right.
Because, you know, JT was a broadcaster for a while. Dan is around it at every practice. He's, you know, in QB meetings. He's basically got a role with the team. He's in every box with Garfinkel. Even Zonka seems like he makes like a seasonal trip. I don't feel like Zach is been with the organization. And I think that's just him. Like, that's the thing that's pretty awesome about it, is that, you know, this campaign or this run to the Hall of Fame was so organically built, it felt like, from outrage from Dolphin fans and a couple of national pundits. But, you know, a lot of these guys, JT included, you know, got into the media, did the, you know, had their themselves out there. Joe Thomas, you know, very good on the media. He's very good at what he does, but is like, you know, had a lot of losing in his career. So like, was out in front. Everybody kind of knew Joe Thomas was out there. Tip of your tongue for everybody. Rondé Barber, same way. Zach's not. Zach's just like did his career and that was it. And it was so cool to see how moved he was from Jimmy giving him the news, and to know that, like, man, that really hit home with him. And it just feel like it couldn't happen to a better dude. Like that one, like, yeah. The Hall of Fame is, you know, some people expect it. And, you know, I think for him, because it was such a slow roll, and he told Dolphin fans, you don't have to worry anymore. You're fine. I'm fine. It's fine there. So, you know, that the support that he got from the Dolphin fans really meant something to him, but couldn't have it to a nicer dude. And yeah, it's like, you know, whatever it was, you know, whatever he's going to do with the rest of his life, just enjoy it. I don't know. But like, just to get this last piece, this last immortalization for his football career was really awesome.
I mean, he said he is in some real estate and he's coaching his kids. I think he has like 3 or 4 kids. He's coaching his kids' soccer team. So he's learning defense, the 4-4-2 formation. Like, you know, he just played his career, earned a ton of money, and decided to like go do his own thing, right? Like, not, I feel like we expect some of these big time athletes to get into media or to kind of profit off of their, like, who they are, right? Their persona. But not everybody takes that approach. And he's just not somebody, Tobin, I mean, he doesn't do interviews.
No interviews, no social media.
Ever.
That's the thing that's crazy about it, though, dude. Like, think about a guy, you know, that is as good as he is and definitely, like, you know, probably could be thrown out there every year by the Dolphins and say, hey, Zach Thomas Day. Hey,
yep.
You know, Zach Thomas show, Zach Thomas, whatever. Yeah. Like, but he doesn't, it's just been like, he's been off almost like a football samurai, just off into the distance. And, you know, to see him get this is really cool, to get his shot. I can't wait for his speech. Definitely going to cry.
Oh, for sure. For sure. He's a crier.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a crier. I mean, he saw Jimmy Johnson and the waterworks started. He's a crier. But you know, and Tobin, that may have even hurt him, right? His lack of, I'm not trying to say personality, because clearly as a personality, like a larger than life one, but his lack of maybe just being around may have hurt him all these years getting into the Hall of Fame, because he's somebody who, you know, he was undersized and he kind of had to, like, nobody really knew who he was until he blew up on the scene and became one of the best linebackers in the game. And then even then, like, he wasn't somebody who was extremely outspoken in the media. He wasn't somebody who garnered like headlines, you know what I mean? And then after he retired, you just never heard from him again. So like, yeah. that in itself could have, I'm not saying it did, but it definitely could have hurt him from, you know, likability out of Miami or just people knowing him fame wise. Enough to put him into the Hall of Fame a couple years earlier.
It definitely had a factor in it, because you think about the other guys who played his position in that era, Ray Lewis and Urlacher, and I'm not saying those guys aren't deserving, but you think about the national notoriety those guys have. You know, Urlacher was in, you know, tequila commercials and Entourage. Like, he was very, very, he was one of the faces of the league. And I'm not even saying he was a better player. It's just a matter of fame. He was the linebacker for the Bears. It's like one of those iconic positions. Ray Lewis, multiple time champion, you know, very, very charismatic, very personable, as far as, like, you know, always Ray's like, what is Ray Lewis going to say? Ray Lewis is kind of crazy. You know, it's like, and so, yeah, I definitely think that played a factor, but I think that's part of what makes this awesome. He didn't go out of his comfort zone. He didn't go out of his lane to try and be anybody else, even if maybe that would have sped along the process. If that would have, you know, if Zach Thomas did do a year of NFL Network, or if that did do it, or did do a year of whatever to get himself out there, because it certainly, I think, would have been, you know, he's a smart enough guy to listen to. I mean, the guy is like a computer out there with, as far as breaking down what he sees out in the field. I'm sure he would have been great at it, but he didn't go that route. And I think that is the, his path to getting here is very, very Zach Thomas. It's very reminiscent of the way he went about his business. It's very reminiscent of the way he's gone about his life since his career ended. And I think that's just why everybody has so much respect for him, and they do cherish what he means to this franchise. And honestly, I hope that, you know, the Dolphins do a lot for him this year, honorary wise, whatever. I'm sure that he's going to get some kind of logo. Don't they put a logo with the Ring of Honor once you get that in there?
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah.
Yeah. They need to do that, dude.
Is he a top five Dolphin of all time?
Yeah, I think so. Like, are you counting Shula? Do you count Shula in this list, or does it have to be players?
No, players. Players only. So the obvious ones: Marino.
Yep.
Bob Greasy.
Yep. Zonk. Right? Zonk's number's retired. Those are the three guys, aren't it, that actually have their numbers retired by the franchise?
Yeah.
Zonk, you're wavering on Zonk.
Marino. I that's tough. Because, like, anybody who was around for 72, like, any 40-year-old-plus Dolphins fan just wants to punch me in the face right now for wavering on Zonk. But
who do you put? Who are you putting ahead? Like, do you want to put one of the Marx brothers there?
Like, JT?
I think those, like, if you told me today your list was, if you told me your list was Marino, JT, Zach, Zonk, and Greasy, I think that's a fine list. I think that's an okay list. I mean,
who are we missing? Like Larry Little, Paul Warfield.
Yes. I mean, there's right? so many guys from that 72 team you could go with and yeah. say that those are the dudes. Honestly, if you told me it should be Zonk or Greasy, I feel like it should go, like, running was the idea of that team even more so. And I know that's blaspheming to the great Bob Greasy, but, you know, if I had to, like, knock somebody off, I would probably knock off Bob Greasy as opposed to a guy like Zonk. But I think the list does have to pretty much be, you have to be in the Hall of Fame, and that has to, that dictates who gets to be in the list.
All right. That's a solid list then. That's an insane list, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. I pulled up a list here from SI. Wow. They have JT, number one Dolphin of all time.
I think that's fair. I mean, like, I get the, you know, I can see the argument.
No, he's two. Marino's one. Sorry. Oh yeah. It didn't load.
No, I think Dan Marino, I can see the argument for JT. Marino should be number one. I think JT definitely has a number two argument.
Yeah. Zonk is three. Greasy's four. Who's five? Larry Little's five.
Larry Little's good, dude.
Yeah. Damn. Dwight Stevenson, six. This is SI.com, by the way. Nick Bonacani, seven. I don't think he's cracking the top five, though. I don't know. I think I'm putting Zach up there.
I think that Zach getting into the Hall of Fame definitely finally, like, solidifies his spot. Yeah. Like, he deserves to be up there.
Yeah, it kind of puts him for sure.
I know that people will be, you know, from the 70s would be like, oh, come on, that was the winningest franchise of all time up until these two guys. But, you know, you got to have a blending of eras, I feel like. We can't just go all the same people. It's like if I was going to do a Heat list and I just pick everybody from the big three era, that's no fun. Yeah. Like, you gotta mix it up a little bit. And so,
I want to put Garo Yepremian in there. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing?
I one time got on the phone, stuck on the phone with the Garo Yepremian for a very long time at a Champ Sports.
Wait, what?
I was trying to book him for, I think it was Hockman and Zaslow, or maybe it was Zaslow. I don't know who was. And I said, hey, can you get Garo Yepremian on? And he was a chatterbox. I mean, he would not let me off that phone.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Is he still with us? No, he died.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we lost him, I want to say, like 5 years ago.
Man.
Yarrow, let's see. When did he pass? Yeah, 2015. Yeah, he passed away.
There aren't many of the 72 team guys left. Because remember, they honored them this year. And,
yeah, 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah, there weren't
Larry Little and Larry Zonka were kind of the faces of it.
Yeah.
Larry Little is probably the big argument there. Like, who's he kicking out? But, you know, I think Larry knows. You know, offensive linemen, they get the short end, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
And let's be real, though, Tobin. I mean, anybody who's around for that era, they're going to tell you the hardware immediately puts them up. Because as much as we love JT and Zach, like, they didn't win anything.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
Like, not a single thing.
But so not their fault.
No, oh, for sure. I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying they didn't win playoff games. What, Jason Taylor won one playoff game in his career?
Yep.
2000?
Yeah, they both have. I think they both have one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a crime, really.
Yeah, it is.
It's a crime that those guys had so much losing around them, and that's why, you know, your story from Zach Thomas makes him a real one, that he wouldn't take the cheap way out, the Patriots. That's why I didn't want Tom Brady here. That's simply like, I don't want Daddy Tom here. You know, so what if it's a free pass to the Super Bowl? I don't want it. I don't want a Patriots cousin ring. Not for me.
Want to earn it the hard way, baby.
Yeah, the Tua way.
With going through judo.
Oh, dude.
I feel we didn't talk. There's so much.
No,
We got to porp again because like Derek Carr.
We'll get into all things. Yeah, we'll get into all things Tua the next time because I was just breaking down his entire Radio Row experience was a podcast in itself. But I think this is good for today. We'll talk to you guys next time on the Porpoise Pod.